I'm to read to you tonight from John chapter 19. You need to read the book of John. John's a great book, and a blessed book, and a wonderful book. And in this great chapter, we find a trial going on. A man standing before a judge. Let me say this. Every person in this house one day will stand before the judge of eternity. My Bible said that all judgment has been committed under the sun. And one day, men are going to have to stand before the Lord Jesus Christ. The Bible said every knee shall bow and every tongue shall confess. I'm glad I've already bowed. I'm glad I've already confessed his name. And he said, if you'll confess my name in this sinful, adulterous generation, I will confess you before my Father. But if you deny me, if you're ashamed of me, and you know what's the matter with some folks? They're ashamed of God. Some of you never raise your hand. You're just ashamed of God, most of you. Now, I know some of you say, preacher, it's not in me to raise my hand. Well, you raise it if your husband at home. Say amen right there, bless God. You ought to raise it down here at church. Then a different way and say, hallelujah, I'm glad I'm on my way. Praise God. And not be ashamed of the Lord Jesus Christ. And here's the judge. And I want you to see something tonight. I want you to look with me in verse 1, chapter 19. Let's stand and look at the scripture, if you will, in John chapter 19. I'm going to preach to you tonight on a subject God gave me a couple of years ago. And since we're going to mail out all of the sermons this week to our audience, I wanted to get this message in. And it's a message about the counterpoint and what they mean. And I want to tell you, beloved, I'm glad Jesus wore that crown for me. Thank God, what a blessing it is to know that Christ wore that crown for you and me. Notice what the Bible says in John chapter 19, verse 1. Then Pilate therefore took Jesus and scourged him. This is a shameful whipping that Jesus had to take. A lash of 39 times upon his precious back. The Bible said in verse 2, and the soldiers planted a crown of thorns and put it on his head. And they put on him a purple robe and said, Hail, King of the Jews! And they smote him with their hands. Pilate therefore went forth again and saith unto them, Behold, I bring him forth to you, that you may know that I find no fault in him. I like that, brother. You may find fault, but you cannot find fault in Jesus. They can't find any fault in him. Boy, isn't that wonderful? I serve a Savior that nobody's ever been able to find one flaw with. Amen. Nobody's ever found any fault with the Lord Jesus Christ. Now, that's what the book says. Then came Jesus forth wearing, now notice, a crown of thorns and a purple robe, and Pilate saith unto them, Look at this prisoner. Now, that's what he really said. Look at this man that's on fire. Behold the man. Behold. Now, he had done nothing to be in that trial. He had done nothing amiss, and yet he took your place and mine. And the scripture said, Behold the man. If you can see Jesus tonight and what he went through with, I tell you, you'll never leave this house unless you're right with God. I believe if you are saved, you'll leave here more in love with Jesus than you ever have been. And Pilate said, Behold him. Look at him. Examine him. Look at him real closely. Put a searchlight on him and see if you can find anything wrong with him. God bless him. And I want you to just look at this, if you will, tonight, verse 5. It said Jesus was wearing two things. And then I'm going to bring you the message as you look at that. And Jesus was wearing only two things. The first thing that he wore, the Bible said, he wore a crown of thorns. And the second thing he wore was a purple robe. Both of them, my friend, stood for shame. Both of them stood for that which he didn't deserve. Brother, he wasn't a shameful person. He was a holy person. Now I want you to be seated all over the house. I want you to bow your head for a word of prayer, Father. I thank you tonight for every blessing of being able to come in the house of God. I praise you for this service and for all you've done. I pray tonight, Lord God, that every man, woman, boy, and girl shall listen as though they wished they had listened. And I pray tonight that the Holy Spirit shall speak to every heart. Oh God, I pray that stubborn wills will be broken down. That Holy Ghost conviction will cause somebody to come trembling and falling down like the Philippian jailer and crying out, Sirs, what must I do to be saved? Lord, this could be somebody's last night. This could be somebody's last call. Oh, of God, this could be somebody's last opportunity. We know that the summer's going to end and the harvest is going to pass. And one of these days, God, they'll run to the rocks and the mountains and cry all on us and hide us from the face of him that sitteth upon the throne. I pray tonight, our Father, that you'll help us as we come to see what Jesus bore and what Jesus did for us, that this might be an unusual service. And our Father, we'll praise you because we ask it in Jesus' precious name. Amen and amen. Beloved, I want to speak tonight on the subject of the crown of thorns and the message which they bear. And before I give the message, let me say that everything Jesus did, he did it for you and he did it for me. I'm glad that everything my Savior ever did, when he came down from heaven to be born, he was born for me. When he walked the shores of Galilee, never he walked them for me. When he prayed all night, he was praying for me. When he spoke, he was speaking for me. When he died upon that old cross, my friend, he was dying for me. When he got up that first Easter morning, thank God he got up for me. And he sat down at the right hand of the Father. And he's there for me. And one of these mornings, he's coming back. And guess who he's coming back for? He's coming back for me. Are you saved? Do you know him? But to begin the message tonight, I want you to go back 1900 years ago. There was a trial going on in the city of Jerusalem. Now tonight there's a trial in Atlanta. There's never been as much publicity. There's never been as much talked about this trial. But I want you to go back to another trial. And you say, who's there? Pilate, the governor. I've always been sorry for Pilate. He didn't know what to do with Jesus. And yet there are people over the country, and they're just like Pilate. They don't know what to do with Jesus. But you accept him or you reject him. I'm glad, praise the Lord. I knelt down before him and God saved me. But I want you to see not the judge. I want you to see the person, the prisoner. I see him as he's being led in. He's not an ordinary prisoner. He's not the common run thief or a blasphemer or an adulterer. He is one that was holy. He's the one that's altogether lovely. And the two things I want you to see about this prisoner. First of all, this person. Who was he? I'll tell you who he was. He's the first and the last. Hallelujah. I'm glad, like Pilate, there's nothing wrong with him. You can't find any fares. I'm glad he's without spot and without wrinkle. You hear people curse the church. You hear people curse the preacher. But there's no one that can curse him honestly and do it justly, because there was nothing wrong with him. I'm glad when he stood there, he opened not his mouth. He was led as a lamb to the slaughter. And what a picture that is when you see Jesus Christ, the faultless one, the perfect one, the holy one, standing there in that place to be tried. The second thing about Jesus, not only this person is person, but I want you to see his power. Those men thought they had him. I want to tell you something, brother. He had all power in heaven and in earth. And he still got that power. I'm glad I serve a God tonight. Just that old power in heaven and in earth. And a lot of people that limit God. And there's a lot of people that you heard. And they say, who is God? Where is he? I'll tell you who he is. He's mine and I'm his. And he has all power in his hand. All the power over the world and the flesh and the devil. And I'm glad when you think about his power. Brother, you're thinking about the omnipotent power. You're thinking about one that has power over devils and disease and death and everything else. But tonight, the Bible said, he said, put a crown of thorns on him. And I see those big thorns as they're padded together. And they were placed in the form of the crown and put down on the head of the Lord Jesus Christ. And you say, what about it, preacher? Those thorns have a message. And they speak five things. If you have your pencils, write them down. The thorns speak first of all.